Hello, and thanks for joining us today for our monthly legal podcast with Missouri Press Association Hotline Attorney Jean Manicky. This is Dawn. Jean's guest is Beth Riggard, Communications Counsel for the Missouri Supreme Court. Beth has been with the court for almost 8 years. Prior to her work with the Supreme Court, she worked at the Attorney General's office for 8 years, the last four as an Assistant Attorney General. For this show, we invited Missouri's newspapers to submit their questions on covering courts, and we had a great response. Jean and Beth will address many of those questions today. Each month, Missouri Press is bringing you a new legal podcast on issues important to Missouri's newspapers. If you have further questions about topics covered in these podcasts or any newspaper-related legal questions, Jean is available to give advice to active members of the Missouri Press Association at no charge. At the end of this program, we'll provide contact information for Jean, and you can always find that information on our website, www.mopress.com. Jean Manicky has served as the Missouri Press Association legal hotline attorney since 1992. Her firm, the Manicky Law Group, is based in Kansas City, Missouri. Jean and Beth, welcome. Let's get started talking about important legal issues related to covering the court system.
Thanks, Don. Beth, it's great to have you here with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
What I want to do is start by having you talk a little about your role at the Supreme Court. I know a lot of our members have contacted you over the years to talk about cases. Can you talk a little bit about your role at the court and the process of taking cases through the Supreme Court?
Well, just generally, and how this relates mostly to your members, as communications counsel for the court, both myself and my deputy are available to talk with your reporters. Mostly we do this on background to help the reporters understand all of the issues that happen in a particular case, or even understand the legal process in a court outside of the Supreme Court, just to help them understand what the best ways to ask questions might be. Generally, how a court how a case moves through the system, it starts in the trial court. Somebody has a dispute with someone, they sue someone, that's filed in what we call the circuit court. We also refer to these as trial courts, and there's one of these in every single county in the state. Once a decision is reached in a trial court, if the party who loses wants to ask another court to take a look at it, they can appeal to one of our three districts of the Court of Appeals. It's just a single Court of Appeals, but it has three geographic districts based in Springfield, St. Louis, and Kansas City. At the Court of Appeals level, there's no witnesses. You have your witnesses all at the trial court level. So all that happens at an appeal court level is the court looks at the transcript, which is a word-for-word document that shows everything that everyone said at the trial court, shows all the documents that were filed in the trial court, and the appellate court reads those documents, reads briefs submitted by lawyers representing parties, and then can make a decision as to whether the court erred or did not err on the law. If you lose in the appellate court, you're entitled to ask the Supreme Court to take a look at your case. Now, the Supreme Court's jurisdiction is a little bit different. We take about half of our cases on mandatory jurisdiction. These are cases that actually skip the Court of Appeals. They're cases that involve the death penalty, taxation, and primarily a lot of the ones we get involve the constitutional validity of a particular statute. Those cases come directly to the Supreme Court. If it's not one of those types of cases, then they go through the Court of Appeals first, and then the Supreme Court determines whether there's either a conflict among the districts of the Court of Appeals, like maybe the one in Kansas City said one thing, the one in Springfield said something totally different. The Supreme Court would like the law to be the same and uniform across the state, so it might take those kinds of cases. Another situation is you may just have an issue that has great importance for people in the state of Missouri, and it will take those cases as well. And I mentioned briefs earlier. These are not terribly short. They used to be way back when, and if anyone comes to the court, they'll actually see handwritten legal documents that were just a few pages long, and then I hear oral argument could go for days. Now how it works is you end up with a brief that contains all of your factual and legal arguments. You cite to the statutes and the case law that you think helps support you, and then you have the opportunity to come to the court and present an oral argument, typically 15 minutes per side. The judges ask lots of questions in an attempt to really understand your perspective of the case and how you as an attorney want the court to decide. And then the court ultimately does research and writing, and they'll issue an opinion that determines the issues in the case.
Most of the reporters cover the circuit court hearings, and I know they've been to those court proceedings, But the appellate courts, both the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, are open to the public, too, to watch arguments, aren't they?
Absolutely. In fact, we welcome anyone who wants to come watch. We have never denied a cameras in the courtroom request at the Supreme Court of Missouri since I've been there. In fact, we are now streaming all of our own arguments online. It's just an audio stream, but if you're, for instance, down in the boot heel and you have a case that's of interest to you and you don't have the resources to come up to the Supreme Court and watch yourself, you're welcome to listen online. We then archive all of those. So if you want to go back and check quotes of what someone actually said during argument, you're able to listen to those online as well.
Can you tell us where the website is for that?
Absolutely. The website is www.courts.mo.gov. And in the right-hand side in our quick links box, there is a link for oral arguments docketed, and that can take you to pages where you can pull the briefs that were filed in the cases as well as listen to the oral arguments themselves. And then once the opinion is issued, there's also a link in that box for opinions.
And those opinions are handed down on Tuesdays in the Supreme Court?
Yes, and not every Tuesday. We typically hand down opinions about twice a month, and they come down at 1 o'clock on Tuesdays. And we've got a listing of the dates on which we expect hand-downs might come posted on that website as well.
Let's take a little break, and we'll come back and deal with some of the questions we got from our members.
Great.
Newspapers in the current economic climate are taking a hit. Who isn't? No, the sky isn't falling. Newspapers have been around for hundreds of years and are likely to be around for hundreds more. However, it's always better to be at the top of your game. Need help getting there? Let the Missouri Press Association and the statewide networks display, classified, and online help you and your salespeople weather the storm. Call Greg Baker to find out more. 573-449-4167.
Hello, we're back again with Missouri Press Legal Hotline attorney Jean Manicky and her guest Beth Riggert, Communications Counsel for the Missouri Supreme Court.
Okay, Beth, let's take some of the questions that we got from the people in the audience who we asked to send questions to us. Jim Robertson at the Columbia Daily Tribune asked a question regarding electronic filing, and actually we had a couple of questions that related to this, so let me ask them in a group and then we can address them together.
Okay.
The Missouri Press Association asked, are all circuit court records in Missouri now online?
All of the courts in Missouri are now available online through what we call CaseNet. There's sort of a two-step process here. We now have a statewide case management system where if someone files something in a court, the clerk makes an entry into the computer, and CaseNet pulls all of the public case information instantaneously and makes it available through the internet. It's also through that www.courts.mo.gov site. There's a link on the right-hand side for CaseNet. You can do a search for a case by the case number, by the date that it's been filed, and by the name of a litigant, and you can either do a statewide search, which I don't recommend unless you are really needing to do that kind of an investigative piece because it will not run real fast, or you can just limit it to a particular court or series of courts. Now, what you're going to see on CaseNet is information pertaining to who the parties are and what lawyers are representing them. You'll see information about any charges if it's been a criminal case, if any judgments if it's a civil case that might be on file. You'll also be able to see the docket entries. I recommend when you go into the docket entries to click on no when it asks you to do pagination so that you'll just be able to scroll through the entire thing, but it will show you a docket entry is essentially an entry that the clerk makes detailing all the steps that happen in the case. So every time something is filed, a notation will be made in the docket that shows that something's been filed. If there's been a hearing scheduled or held, that will show up. So this sort of gives you a rundown of what's happening in the case. And as of April of 2008, all of the courts in Missouri are now available on CaseNet. So as long as the information is public case information, where if you walked into the courthouse you could get it, that information is also available via CaseNet. What is not available on CaseNet at this time is the document itself. If someone files a pleading in a particular case, you're going to see that they filed that pleading, but you can't click on anything to bring the pleading up. What that requires is something called electronic filing, and we don't have that in Missouri right now. It's something that's in our long-range plan. It has been in our long-range plan for a long time. Last fall, we submitted, we went through a bidding process where we tried to solicit bids. We got some bids back in December. We had certain requirements that we wanted on there, and what we received back just was not acceptable to what we want to be able to provide, and so we rejected those. And there is a plan to resubmit or reissue bids this summer. What we're looking at on that side is to have a vendor come in and be able to put a system together for us. The reason we might need a vendor is because we don't have any money in the budget to pay for electronic filing. We are putting in a wish list request for stimulus money to perhaps pay to give us the funding to build our own internal e-filing system similar to what is available in the federal system. We have absolutely no way to know if the legislature will include that in a stimulus appropriation or not, and if they do, if we'll get what we need, but we're hoping. And it is an expensive process, unfortunately. The federal system, called PACER, started back in September of 1988, and they essentially, up until sometime maybe 12 or so years later, only had sort of a system similar to our CaseNet, where you could see that things had happened, but you couldn't actually get to the documents themselves. Now, in most of the federal courts, you're able to actually click on an icon and pull up the document itself. It's all been run based on user fees. When it started, you paid $1 a minute for a dial-in access. They've since converted over to a per-page price. So now, if you want to access a document to either view it or print it, you pay 8 cents a page. And I think they bring in around $80 million a year in fees. They've got tens of thousands of users across the country, and that system is paid for completely through those user fees. What we're looking at in Missouri, again, is to try and either come up with stimulus money or some other kind of grant money. So if any of you out there know of any grant money that might help support the Missouri state courts to build their own e-filing system, we would love to hear from you. And in the absence of that kind of startup money, then we're going to try and reissue a solicitation for bids and hope that we get something back that will work for everyone.